You are listening to the podcast of Frontline Ministries International. We pray you will be empowered as you listen to this week's message.
Thank you, Jesus. Behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me to render to every man according to what he has done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things for the churches. I am the root and the descendant of David, the bright morning star. The Spirit and the bride say, come. And let the one who hears say, come. And let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who wishes take the water of life without cost. He who testifies to these things says, in Jesus' words, yes, I am coming quickly. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with you all. Behold, I am coming quickly. Blessed is he who heeds the words of the prophecy of this book. He showed me a river of the water of life, clear as crystal, coming from the throne of God and of the Lamb in the middle of its street. On either side of the river was the tree of life, bearing 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And he said to me, these words are faithful, these words are true. And the Lord, the God of the spirits of the prophets, sent his angel to show to his bondservants the things which must soon take place. Ho, 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 ho. Jesus. Do not seal up the words of the prophecy of this book, for the time is near. Blessed are those who wash their robes so that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter by the gates, ho, into the city. Hoshakaraba. Orabababababa. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain. And he showed me the holy city, Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. Her brilliance was like a very costly stone, as a stone of crystal, clear jasper. It had a great and high wall with 12 gates. And at the gates, 12 angels, and names were written on them, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the sons of Israel. Thank you, Jesus. The material of the wall was jasper. The city was pure gold, like clear glass. The foundation stones of the city wall were adorned with every kind of precious stone. The first foundation stone was jasper, the second sapphire, the third chalcedony, the fourth emerald, the fifth sardonyx, the sixth sardius, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth topaz, the tenth chryophase, the 11th jacinth, and the 12th amethyst. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Each one of the gates was a single pearl. And the street of the city was pure gold, like transparent glass. I saw no temple in it, for the Lord God, the Almighty, and the Lamb are its temple. Ho! And the city has no need of the sun or of the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God has illumined it, and the lamp is the Lamb. The nations will walk by its light, and the kings of the earth will bring their glory into it. in the daytime, for there will be no night there. Its gates will never be closed. And they will bring the glory and the honor of the nations into it. And nothing unclean and no one who practices abomination and lying shall ever come into it, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Yes, I am coming quickly. Lord, in your presence, let these words of life sink deep into our spirit, deep into our heart, God, deep into the place where we commune with you and you speak life into us, which determines that we are overcomers by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, and we love not our life unto the death. Lord, we just praise you this morning, for we look forward to what's coming. But we thank you, Lord, for what's taken place, and we celebrate where we are. Lord, we need the fullness of the revelation that can only come from you to say yes to all things, God. All things, that we would not be limited in our understanding, in our faith, in our belief. That we would clearly revel in the love that you have given to us so freely. And that your words and actions and attitudes of life and love will flow out of us into this dying world. That you will have your reward, Lord Jesus. Jesus, count us in, Jesus. You said you would pour your spirit out on all flesh. This is the time. This is the season. You're preparing for the last of the last of the last days. You're preparing your forerunners. You're preparing those who will stand till the end. You are preparing those who will not be taken by ways of the world. You're preparing those who are seriously attuned to your heart of what you will see. We want to be part of that, Jesus. We want to be part of that. We say we're here, standing in your presence. We sing, we're here, standing in your presence. Shekinah glory, come. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. May we reflect your beauty. May we stare into your beautiful face for intimacy, intimacy, intimacy to grow, grow. Open our hearts today, Jesus. That our spiritual ears would listen. Our spiritual eyes would see. Our hearts would be just connected, God. We'd put down any differences. Come. Come. Come to the table today. Come to the table today. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. In John chapter 4, just stay in this state of connecting in his presence. Jesus had finished his first miracle in Cana in Galilee, going into Galilee outside of Judea. And then he healed a nobleman's son, his second miracle, that was dying, and breathed life into him. It's interesting, at the beginning of Jesus' ministry, his first miracles were enumerated, first, second, and third. And then they happened massively after that. So the third one, I want to read the passage about the third miracle. Listen. Listen with your spiritual ears. Listen. John chapter 5. You can follow if you want, but listen. Children, listen. Parents, listen. Listen. Listen with your spiritual ears, okay? John 5. You can put it up if you want. The verse at the end of chapter 4 reads, "This is again a second sign that Jesus performed when he had come out of Judea into Galilee." And Cana is in this Galilean area. Okay? Chapter 5. "After these things, there was a feast of the Jews. And the Jews went up to Jerusalem," where we were this week and last week, "and also in Galilee, seeing things up close, experiencing the Lord, just being in his presence in a very contentious area, regionally, politically. Very contentious. Let me read this. Verse 2. "Now there is in Jerusalem by the sheep gate," remember, who is the gate and who is the sheep gate? Jesus, yeah? "Now there is in Jerusalem by the sheep gate a pool which is called the Hebrew Bethesda, having five porticos." We saw that. We witnessed that. But listen what they say in the Bible, what's written. "In these lay a multitude of those who were sick, blind, lame, and withered, waiting for the moving of the waters. For an angel of the Lord went down at certain seasons into the pool and stirred up the water. Whoever then first, after the stirring up of the water, stepped in was made well from whatever disease he was afflicted with." Verse 5. "A man was there who had been ill for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had already been a long time in that condition, Jesus said, 'Do you wish to get well?' The sick man answered him, 'Sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. But while I am coming, another steps down before me.' Jesus said, 'Get up, pick up your pallet, and walk.'" He didn't say, "Please." He didn't say, "I need to get to know you for 5 years." Okay, this is the power that Jesus walked in. Third miracle. "When Jesus saw him," "immediately the man became well and picked up his pallet and began to walk." Let me read that verse again. Verse 9. "Immediately the man became well and picked up his pallet and began to walk. Now it was the Sabbath on that day." This is part of the Shabbat, which is celebrated weekly in Jerusalem, all through Israel, which is a time of rest. It's the day of rest. It's the last day of the week before they start their week again. They call it Shabbat. Everything closes down. All the shopkeepers, all the store owners, everybody, they recognize this in Israel, the Jewish people. Many Muslims and Palestinians go along with that too, because it's tradition. But the Jews do it for religious purposes. Not spiritual purposes, religious purposes, because they don't know Jesus. None of them know Jesus. They don't know Jesus. In the scripture, the Lord says, if you don't believe in the one that I sent, you don't believe in me. That's for everybody. That's for all of us. Since it was the Sabbath on that day, part of verse 9, it says, the Jews were saying to the man who was cured, it is the Sabbath, and it is not permissible for you to carry your pallet. When I spoke to Jewish people, Pastor Bill and I, in Israel, about the Shabbat, about this celebration at the end of the week, always closing down shops at 3 o'clock on Friday, and then when the sun goes down, depending on how they interpret that, what sect of Jewish person or belief is tying into that. They have different times. They don't hold fast to it, but close to 7 o'clock maybe when the sun starts to wane. And then they are not permitted, according to the Orthodox Jews, to do anything that would be considered work, that would be connected with electricity, where they would activate electricity, or anything dealing with fire. Electricity and fire, what comes to your mind when you think of that? Power? The power that they are forbidden to touch? They're forbidden. It's not just the ways of the world. And nobody told us this but the Lord. He said, it's my power. They don't know me. They don't know my power. They've not received my love. Let me fill you with me. Let me fill you with more power so you'll walk where Jesus walked. You'll love who Jesus loves. You'll do what Jesus did. And people will be removed. The blindness will be removed from the eyes of all men and women and children around the world. And then the end will come, and the Lord will see to it. Because there's such a haze over these precious people. We wept over the people who are going about their daily activities and going into the streets, and lovely people in Israel. Palestinians, Muslims, the Jewish people, the Armenians, and those who don't know what they are, but they say, I'm from Israel, so I'm Jewish, I guess. But they don't have any sense of real belief, but they're lost. And Jesus, oh yeah, you can get into a discussion about Jesus, but you know what? Whenever you talk about the real Jesus, the walls are up. The walls of Jericho are high. Why? Because he's the answer to the peace of Jerusalem. He's the answer to power being released. He's the answer. He's the answer. He's the answer to us. He's the answer for us. When we worshiped him at this beautiful wedding yesterday, and we were having communion and prophetic words and beautiful worship going on, you could feel him. You could feel his power, his peace, his presence. You could feel that the real God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, was here amongst us, was moving, was releasing. The fire of the Holy Spirit was released in a progression towards the end, especially of the wedding. Because the Lord was saying, open your eyes and hearts. I will fill them all. And you will see. You'll not just want to go on a mission trip to Israel. You'll have a heart to see what Jesus sees. Why he went to the Mount of Olives. Why he hid away with his father in a very contentious place and land with people who wanted to murder him from loving his papa. From being obedient fully. This is who you are. Do not settle for less than what God has for you in any way. Do not. Do not. Not in these days, not ever, but in these days, the Lord says, you will walk in the fullness of what I've created you to have and to walk in. If you will open your heart and let me fill that with me above any desire, personal desire that you want, watch what I do, and you will be so shocked, so surprised. Just like he told us to go to Israel a week ago Wednesday, last Wednesday. Oh yes, it was our 25th wedding anniversary, and it was beautiful, and we were talking about that. We've always wanted to go to Israel, but we sought the Lord, and most people plan a long time to do these things, and we didn't. We heard the Lord, and he said, go. So we went, okay, let's do this. And you all heard the beginning testimony from Justin, or from Jordan, and Carly, and Mike, and Peter, of what happened, where we couldn't even leave the country because we didn't have a passport. They were all, the passports were in the Mozambican embassy. Getting our visas to go to Mozambique in a few weeks. That's crazy. So we watched our King of Kings, our Lord of Lords, perform what he always does, which is supernatural, miracle-working movement to get us there. And it was. And if you don't know that story, talk to Jordan or any of the ones I've named. They've already shared the testimony here. It's ridiculous. To be on the phone and listen to a Mozambican agent, embassy agent, now calling me Mary and checking on me and saying, happy anniversary. You make sure you get this. I took care of it for you. Where before that, he said, absolutely not. And in the middle of a phone call, in peace, I just witnessed him shifting instantly because of God. The Lord trumped him, not me. Trumped whatever he was saying because he said, I'm sending you. So as we celebrated, we got there and celebrated our 25th. And there's a few pictures at Facebook that we added this week. You can look. And we have a few today, hopefully to paint a picture of the depth of what Jesus wants us to receive today for the future of where we're going for all of our missions overseas. It's very serious, joyfully serious. So good. So sweet. So when the Lord says yes and opens the door, no man can shut it. Remember that. When the door is open, no man can shut any door. No man. That's a frightening thought. That's a good frightening thought. Let it be the door of the Lord. Let me just finish this passage. Jesus. It is the Sabbath, and it is not permissible for you to carry your pallet, the Jews were saying to the man who was cured. This is verse 10. But he answered them, he who made me well was the one who said to me, pick up your pallet and walk. He testified of Jesus immediately. I would too, after 38 years, I would hope. But the man who was healed did not know who it was, for Jesus had slipped away while there was a crowd in that place. Afterward, Jesus found him in the temple and said, behold, you have become well. Do not sin anymore, so that nothing worse happens to you. The temple. We walked on the grounds of that temple. That is now the mount for the temple, a Muslim temple. It is the Dome of the Rock, where all end-time activity will culminate. And as we walk to these places, realizing more and more, Jesus, you want us to understand things more spiritually, not just connect dots physically. Not everybody can go into Jerusalem or Israel, necessarily, but more for what we can do individually through prayer and through our ministry, which will be increasing in Israel for sure. The Lord spoke it. It will be. Afterwards, in verse 13, the man was healed, did not know who it was, as I said, for Jesus had slipped away while there was a crowd in that place. 14. Afterward, Jesus found him in the temple and said, "Behold, you have become well. Do not sin anymore, so that nothing worse happens to you." 15. The man went away and told the Jews that it was Jesus who made him well. 16. For this reason, the Jews were persecuting Jesus because he was doing these things on the Sabbath. Let me read 16 again. For this reason, the Jews were persecuting Jesus because he was doing these things on the Sabbath, but also because of who he was. But their excuse is because it's the Sabbath. No work on the Sabbath from Friday afternoon till Saturday night. Thank you, hon. Verse 17, he answered them, Jesus answered them, "My Father is working until now, and I myself am working." Can I read that again? "My Father is working until now, and I myself am working." Jesus then goes into the scriptures to explain who he was from a place of being one with the Father, the deity of Jesus and such. It was just beautiful. When we were walking in some of these areas in the city, there's the old city City of David, which is part of the old ruins in the old city in Jerusalem. We stayed about 10 minutes as the crow flies outside of the city. It doesn't take 10 minutes. And there's a few, you can turn the lights up. There's a few pictures we want you to see to get a spiritual perspective of some of the things that we experience. If you could turn the lights out, that would be great. Thank you. There's the walled up gate. You see that in the back? Okay, that is the Golden Gate or the Eastern Gate, and Jesus will return. It's very significant. All the other gates are open. There are 8 of them, and this is the one that is closed. It's very well known in the back. Very long, old building. And we're standing right in front of us, actually, is the Mount of Olives, where Jesus always moved to go pray for his disciples. And the Garden of Gethsemane is around there. We walked in what is thought to be the Garden of Gethsemane. And we listened to all kinds of people in red things and wanted it to be determined by the Spirit. Is this accurate? Is this not? And we take steps with that in our belief of what was or what may not be. This is on our anniversary on June 11th. We actually arrived in Israel on June 11th. A dream for us. We couldn't believe how God did this. It was a ridiculous story. But we were there. We celebrated 25 years. Praise the Lord for that. And this is thought to be the Garden of Gethsemane, right here where Jesus was praying before he was taken into custody. It's a beautiful garden, a beautiful area. And this is the Dome of the Rock, the Temple Mount. And I do have a couple videos to show you because I think it helps to visualize something as we're going through the scriptures to see some of these areas. They're very, very helpful, very important. This is a mosque right here. And you imagine this in the holy city, right in the center of this holy city. There's a Muslim Islamic mosque. And that is not well taken by the Jews at all. And so there's a lot of contention. There's a lot of military presence there. We as tourists, they call us, no matter how we look or dress, if we are not Muslim, you cannot go into any of these types of structures. They're very strong about it. But it's quite lovely. It's quite beautiful. You can go ahead. This is called the Wailing Wall, which is outside of that. And this Wailing Wall is a place where the Jewish men and women in the old city will go and cry out for the Messiah to come, cry out for Jerusalem to be the final Islamic capital, or Jewish capital. President Trump thinks so, But the whole world hasn't embraced that. We know that the embassy, the American embassy, we saw the sign, has now taken up quarters there. But these people are dressed, obviously, ceremonially, but they look like this during the day. So these people are not odd. They're just walking out their faith, but their faith is in a God they don't know. They don't know him. They know about him. They stick to the Torah. They worship in their temples, in their synagogues, and they do incredible things to make themselves right with God, and that's what they've told us when we ask. How do you get rid of sin? Well, you just be a good person. You do what you can do. We have many strict laws that we must follow, and then we hope we can get to heaven someday. So it's a works mentality. Very lovely people, very family-oriented. They're a lot of fun, but their eyes are dead. When you look into their eyes, there's just no life, because only Jesus can bring life. Only the Lord can release life. So in this wailing wall, 1 second, guys, people are writing out petitions and saying, God, please help my son who's getting married next week. Help him have a good life. People traveled. The first people we met who we hadn't had connection with were from Tel Aviv, the capital city. And the first people we met were having a son. They were Jewish. They're having a son who's going to be married next month. And so they wanted to take their little paper and go down into the wall and put it anywhere that they could, even if they had to drop it. They tried to put it between the cracks and hoping that maybe there was this God who would hear them. So it's very ceremonial, lots of chanting and singing and such. This is the men's side. You can go forward now. And this is a view from up high, overlooking the city, overlooking that area. There's the Temple Mount. Can you put the volume up, please? There's the Wailing Wall right there. There's the Temple Mount. There are 4 quadrants in the original Holy City, 1 for Muslims, 1 for Jews, 1 for Christians, they say, and 1 for Armenians, 4 quarters. So there is the Jewish quarter, the religious Jewish quarter, religious Muslim quarter, religious Christian quarter, and religious Armenian quarter. So we were meeting with some people who led us here out of the parking lot. We just followed them and walked. And this lady had a bone problem in her leg for 15 years, gave her the gospel, prayed over her, and she had a relief from her bone problem. We kept in touch, hoped to meet when we left at the airport, for that's where she worked in Tel Aviv. She wasn't working that day, but she said, oh, because of you, my bone is better, my foot is better, my ankle is better. And I said, no, because of Yeshua, because of Jesus, he's the healer, he uses people. Oh, okay, can we stay connected? Sure. So we'll have a relationship, hopefully, that continues. Remember, what did we just read in John 5? Jesus touched the man 38 years, right? Jesus said, don't worry about trying to get in a pool of water with angels coming in or what. I am the pool. So take up your mat and walk. Woof, that's our Jesus. And that's what the signs and the wonders that are released, that will touch the people as we are in Israel. And we will be going back, but all over the world. Because what do you say to that? Where did that come from? So we carry power when we carry the fullness of the Spirit of God. Amen. Okay, next one. And there's the gate in the back, the western gate, or the golden gate and the eastern gate, and we're just standing. There's a valley below there. Many, many valleys, big, expansive areas like this that are very hilly. There's Joppa Valley, Valley of Megiddo, Valley of Ninon, all kinds of valleys, so many. And we want to release more and more and more, just talking about them rather than giving a report, which is not our heart, but to release more of what God's intention was at the time in early stages prior to Jesus coming, in the early part of, you know, BC, before Jesus, and what God actually did. This one valley that's right in this area here is very wicked. It's a wicked valley where Abraham and his crew right here, some said, that there was so much gathering of debauchery and wickedness down in this area. This was even where Judas may have hung himself. So a lot of people have different ways of looking at it, but historically they're saying this is a very wicked area. So we'll see if what God does with that when he comes back. Okay. We're on the Sea of Galilee in a wooden boat that the Lord gave us to be part of a family that rented a private boat. That was in Pastor Bill's heart. He didn't know what God was going to do, but he just opened the door and said, here are the people, here's the boat, just walk on. And they invited us to come on, a family of five. It's crazy. So we are in the Sea of Galilee. And on the Sea of Galilee, all these areas where Jesus, two-thirds of his ministry, of his miraculous ministry in Capernaum, and when he released the man in Mark 5 from Gennesaret, the demon-possessed man, all of that was going on away from the Sea of Galilee or on the shores of the Sea of Galilee, where Jesus calmed the storm. Okay, where Jesus raised the dead, all kinds of miracles happened all around the Sea of Galilee. So we drove to Tiberias, which is the city there, and drove right up to the edge of the sea and said, now what do we do? And the Lord opened up this opportunity supernaturally for us to be on this boat. This is a friend. I asked God, give me a friend where I can spend time, because you're running. This was a very busy, busy trip. And we rest in the Lord and go. We don't sit in our room and say, hope it works out. So it was extremely active, which I loved it. We loved it. But the Lord, on the way back for our 11-hour flight from Tel Aviv to JFK, this lovely lady, my new friend, was sitting next to me. She's an Orthodox Jew, married an Hasidic Jew, which is a step up even in following the law, than where she was, and she was pretty strong. So we sat and talked for most of the flight. I think we nodded off for a couple hours, but she just answered every question, and I shared as much of who Jesus is to me that I was able to easily and carefully. And then she basically said, let's move a different direction without saying it. So we did, and we have already been in touch. So the relationship has already been established. She knows I'm not a Jewish lady, but she knows much of my process. But when it came down to the actual salvation, she stood up in the plane. And it was really easy. It wasn't awkward at all. She goes, oh, my legs hurt. I have to go walk around. And when she came back, she changed the subject. And the words that she used, I don't think she even recognized. She looked at me longingly and she said, I don't want to turn my back on you. And she wasn't. We were just talking like friends. And I just smiled at her, because that's what the Jews have done. That's what they're doing. That's what the enemy has deceived them into doing, is to turn their back on Jesus. Interesting. So you can pray for her. We'll be more about this. This is the lady. Okay, continue on. This is our flight. This is still the Sea of Galilee. There it is. And this is when we went to Bethlehem, and this is the door to enter into the oldest church in the world, the Church of the Nativity, where it's believed that through many different reasons that Jesus was born in a manger, laid in a manger. He was born in a cave. The word for stable, the Hebrew word is cave. So to enter into this very ornate church that was built a few centuries after Jesus was born, and it's the only one that's lasted all these years because they have all been destroyed. This one didn't get destroyed because of some kind of tiled mosaic, structure within the architecture that the Palestinians, I believe, or was it the, who was it saw it they were attacking? Somebody saw it and said, don't destroy it. I forget who it was, but I have to think about this. There are a lot of facts that are still jumbling around. But anyway, they didn't, the Persians, thank you, and they didn't destroy. They saw the Magi. They saw just decorative work of the Magi and said, don't touch this. And everything else was destroyed. But anyway, to enter into this gate, this is called the Gate of Humility, so it's very short. And the idea is to crouch down. So there's a lot of Catholic, very Catholic influence in Jerusalem, in the Old City. Continue on. Thank you. This is at the Wailing Wall. Can you turn it up a little, or on the woman's side? This woman is, what I was saying in my heart was, Jesus, save this woman. She's been doing this for who knows how many years. Who knows how long. She's sitting there and rocking and reading her scriptures or reading the Torah, hoping that this will do something in the spirit for her. So the prayer would be, Lord, if she really wants to know you, make yourself known. If she really does, make yourself known. Only you know, Jesus. Okay. And they back off like this from the wall, because they don't want to turn their back on the wall. They're worshiping a God they don't know at this wall. It's really interesting, but they will turn. They don't want to turn their back. But those are the words that the woman used with me on the plane. And I'm not sure if in that video, Josh, at the end, if the young girl is in there crying. I'm not sure how long that particular video is. I have several. They're labeled 1, 2, and 3, the Wailing Wall. Or Haley, whoever's there. Okay, I sent them to you, Andy. It said 1, 2, and 3. Or one of them said 1, and the other said 2 and 3. So, anyway, is there another video? He can see it. Yeah, right here. And there's a young couple of young girls who are just weeping and they're rocking. And they're so serious about this. And they're walking through this walled off area to get down to the Wailing Wall. They're just driven to do this for these, you know, ways of their way of reaching God. Okay. Look at this. And there's the wall with the papers. Okay, there's another video now. You look at her weeping. There's one right next to that, I think. She'll find it. It's worth waiting for. As we just picked a few things to show you. We have tons, you can imagine. But this is to stir you spiritually. That's the idea. Okay, this is on the men's side. That's why it's looking squashed like this. They look like Here we go. We had heard there was a bar mitzvah for young men to come into the reality of manhood from a Jewish perspective. That was the night before Shabbat. The women's side is the other side. But all through the city, you'll see these young men and boys wearing black coats. And there are a whole bunch of meanings to the colors and the length of the robes and the length of the beard and the hair and the hats. And we don't need to go into any of that today. But a lot of that was told to us, and we discussed it, and we understood more of why they do what they do. And there was a lot of appreciation by the people for the interest, because this is for us to be able to. Another one. Yeah.
I'm on the side with just the women. I'm watching the women. You're the men on the other side. And you're putting papers, desire, and request into the wall right now.
Okay. Let's just keep going with the... I think we have a handful more, and I can kind of pull this in, because there's so much. And we just want to give you... That's the Garden of Gethsemane again. There is a picture of your heads against the wall. And there's a wall right in front of you, and you can't get over. You can't get through. And you're not connecting with God. You don't know the creator of the universe. You know about him. Doesn't that break your heart? And these are people all over the world, coming from all over the world. The Jews have been brought back. Israel became a state, a country in 1948, and they're being brought in from all over the world. There's much talk about the Holocaust that took place beginning in 1938, 37 leading up, and 38 and 39, with the Nazi rising, the regime of the Nazis, and in the early part of World War II, and what it was like and the horrors. And we learned a lot about that, or saw that, more than what we knew here, because there's a Holocaust museum and it's originated from the Jews, it's run by the Jews, it's influenced by the Jews, and Christians are not favored at all within that, because there wasn't much aid or any aid really from their perspective to help them. And because of their stand for Jesus, It was also seen as these people are less than in every way. So Hitler was not a Christian. He was steeped in the occult. That's a whole other story. But there was an obliteration, eradication of 6 million Jewish people all over Europe, all over the known place in Eastern and Western Europe. Very, very difficult, not just in Germany. So very hard, the extermination. So we went and spent a day there, most of the day. Next one, please. And this is just this is Bethlehem, and this is part of the outside of this very ornate church that I didn't include any pictures of the inside, just to show you it was there. Next one. And this is at the Garden Tomb. This is supposedly where Jesus was laid to rest, that this would be the tomb of Joseph of Arimathea. This is called the Garden Tomb, more of an alternative place than some of the original Church of the Sepulchre, the Holy Sepulchre, that's within the confines of the city walls. This is it's still within the area, but it's more on a hill where they say Jesus was crucified, overlooking a walkway and a very well-traveled path where people would see those who were to be sentenced to death, who were crucified on a stone hill called Golgotha, this hill of the skull. And they said that is where many believe that Jesus was crucified, up there. And it's not a shrine. It's not like an idol that has what we have seen in the city walls. Within the city walls, we saw more of a type of veneration of idol worship, whereas this was different. It's called the Garden Tomb. Anyway, this one... This one had the peace of Jerusalem in our hearts all over it, and so we're believing that God was leading us into something where it was a sanctuary, we're crying before the Lord, just having communion there literally and spiritually. So this is what was said to be the actual entrance into where Jesus was laid, into this stone little mountain, and it was a cave area there. And this is Papa Bill on the boat over Sea of Galilee. And interestingly, this is, Isaiah? What's that say at the bottom? Isaiah 66:10. Let me just read it real quickly to you. I do with my Bible here. Yeah. And I thought this was appropriate. This is right at the Wailing Wall, but it's so important to see when people are standing right in front of the scriptures and misunderstanding them completely. And this was an example of a Hebrew man just kind of standing there, not really knowing what was going on, it seemed. And so Isaiah 66:10 reads this: "Be joyful with Jerusalem and rejoice for her, all you who love her. Be exceedingly glad with her, all you who mourn over her." Verse 11, "that you may nurse and be satisfied with her comforting breasts, that you may suck and be delighted with her bountiful bosom. For thus says the Lord, behold, I extend peace to her like a river, and the glory of the nations like an overflowing stream." And everyone was saying, pray for the peace of Jerusalem in Psalm 122:6. Everybody knows that verse, right? But Jesus is peace of Jerusalem. He is Jerusalem. He is the peace. We're talking about him, this nurturing aspect of his nature is Father God, who is the breasted one. He's known as in scripture because we nurse from him. We receive our sustenance from him through the Holy Spirit. And Jesus is the fulfillment, but he's the beginning of it as well. And they don't know that. Let me give you an example. We walked through this mall that's, within steps of the old city. I mean, literally, steps. This guy comes up to me and he says, "Hey, listen, I need your help. We're on the front lines." I said, "Oh, really?" "Yeah." And he says, "You don't realize all the political unrest here." I said, "Oh, tell me about it." So he was telling me about how Israel always seems to give land away to keep peace. When you give land away to keep peace, you're giving away the motherland. Not a good idea. And there are people who don't understand that Jews are coming back into this country to take their place. And when they come back to take their place, then we're going to get our Messiah. But I'm not worried about this God stuff, because if you try to approach it using God in any way, it doesn't work. And I said, "Well," he says, "are you a Jewish person?" I said, "Well, my roots go back to the beginnings with Jesus, because he is my Lord, and I love Jesus." "Oh," well, the anger rose significantly. He goes, "Well, that's ridiculous. You're entitled to your own opinion." And he was a hothead, and it was political, and it was spiritually political, okay? And so as I'm walking away, because I'm not supporting that, thank you so much, but I'm walking away, he says, "I'm not supporting a dead relative." And it just, my heart ached. Because that's how he referred to Jesus. His dead relative has no power. He's dead. He's not alive. He didn't raise from the dead. You're crazy if you believe in him. That's underlying everything in this country. Every squabble. The resurrection, the birth, death, burial, and resurrection, there'll be different parts of it that different groups will say, "Well, maybe that happened, but. Maybe this happened, but. Maybe that happened, but." There's nobody who believes that Jesus is alive, raised from the dead, the resurrection power that we talked about even at the wedding yesterday that was released at the end of the service yesterday. No. So I asked about Messianic Jews, not using that word. And I said, "Aren't there some Jews," this is with the lady on the plane, "aren't there some Jews who decide that Jesus really is the Messiah?" Asking the question, not telling her, but asking, "Aren't there?" And she goes, "Oh, Mary, yes, There are some, but we pay them no mind. They're silly, in so many words. It's like, they're just basically an annoyance. I said, well, how do you deal with them? Oh, and she looked at me. It's like, okay, I understand. So there's persecution for anyone who says Jesus is Lord anywhere in that part of the world. And it's a hot spot in the Middle East, you know that. And is surrounded by enemies everywhere that just wants to destroy Israel. And it's only by God's grace that Israel is still where it is today. And so as we're praying, we're not just praying for a territorial place. We're praying on so many fronts. When we say the peace of Jerusalem, we better understand what that means. And we better understand spiritually why we're doing what we're doing more and more and more and more. And this will take us deeper into our faith walk with Jesus. So when we're praising the Lord and singing about your presence, then there's a point to it beyond right where we are doing this today, which is good, which is right, which is glorious, which is the Shekinah glory coming down. Yes, yes, and yes. But what do we do? What can we do? The people that we were with are people who have a movement, an Israel movement, and we found them online. They've connected with Heidi as well. And so we partnered with them. We really went off doing what we were doing because of their schedule and ours, which is fine. But we're very good friends now. And they asked us, do you want to connect with us? And the answer is, oh, yes. And so the Lord spoke to Pastor Bill and I that we would like to see in the future Frontline Israel. Do you know what that means? Do you know what that would take? Do you know what the cost would be? Do you realize what the Lord would say would be the spiritual understanding and requirement for that to become a reality? It's not just, hey, I've always wanted to go to Israel. That'd be really cool. Count me in. No. This would be, okay, Lord, you're coming back soon. People who understand that, who are in Israel as well as here, they will say, do you realize that prophecy is being fulfilled right under our noses right now? Yes. To find someone who believes it, to find someone who knows it, to find someone who understands it, releases more power. And the Lord's saying, that's what I have for you. Do you want that, kids? That's why God sent us to Israel. And we had the blessing of enjoying our 25th wedding anniversary. Because the Lord was saying, now I'm putting feet to the dreams that you've always had. I'm putting power behind it now. The time is now. Don't minimize. Don't miss it. Don't be too busy. Don't be too wrapped up in four walls of your life and world alone. Think beyond. Don't just think, well, Andy's the one that comes up and talks about Israel. Don't think that way anymore. Start getting into the scriptures, reading more and more and more, paying very close attention to what's going on in these last days in the Middle East. And when we pray here, when we have overnights and, you know, prayer times and all that, that we're very, very significantly thinking about, can I be part of that? Can I structure my time? It's on the calendar. Come. Be part of it. Think about it. Because I'm telling you, this is very, very, very important. We came back just stunned in the glory of God. Like, oh my gosh. Okay, let's continue. There's just another example of some kind of something that was going on. We don't know exactly what, but they all just kind of swarmed together, all these people. Something important was going on. We don't know who it was in the middle of it, but there was a whole lot of power. Some kind of power. Okay. There's an example of what's happening. There's father, son, very familiar oriented, loved it. Lots of families walking around. It was very fun to see that. We're like, oh, look how close they are. I love that. That's not the point. But it's leading them nowhere unless they are touched by the Spirit of God to come to know Yeshua. That's our heart for them. They need to know Yeshua. When I prayed for the first woman, I said, can I pray for you? She wasn't an Orthodox Jew, but I said, can I pray in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach? Pray for your ankle so that you will be healed? And she said, okay. And she was. Think about this. Okay. That's the Garden of Gethsemane again. And this is where they say that Jesus was laid in a manger. This is in a cave again, cave-like area. It was 20 feet away where he supposedly was born. Within this church structure, yes, there's this cave. The church was built around this structure that was known since the 300s or 400s or something. It's very old, oldest church in the world. So it stands the test of time from that perspective, at least. You can keep going. This is more of the same. Oops. Pastor Bill said, we need to go to the Jordan River and we want to baptize each other. We said, okay. I said, okay. So this was the master navigator here. And it was crazy driving, really, but we did it in Jesus' name. And he found the Jordan River, and I was an assistant here. And we drove right up, and we baptized each other. I'm crying. I'm having a vision, heavenly vision at that time. Holy Spirit was all over this. We were given special robes that usually they're charged for because we're pastors. It's like, oh, man, how cool is this? So we baptized each other there. And I had a vision up in the sky, and I saw worship. I saw shape of an instrument and felt that there was a country also that was surrounding that. And as it was clouds up in the clouds, and I felt that it was maybe Israel, I don't know for sure, but it seemed like it was. And there was this instrument, looked like a guitar. And over to the left was a great big open space, like an open heaven. And there was a brilliant light to the left of it, and then a small sphere of light within that. And I was just weeping, crying when I saw that. This is right after coming up out of the water. And felt that the Lord was saying, we need to understand what our hearts of worship mean and will do here and abroad. But see that tied in with evangelism and what that is. That is evangelism. God is saying you have to go to the people as well as you're releasing this in the spiritual area, spiritual climate. Okay, next one, please. This is a guy on the plane. They just look lost. Very nice people. Next one. Next one. No, don't play that. Just keep going, guys. I think we're at the end. Okay. I mean, we did much more, but we just wanted to give a taste of some of these things to be able to hopefully provoke jealousy for the Jewish people, but also for us, that we would say, wow, I really want to know this Jesus even more for myself and not take for granted. The greatest tool the enemy has against us is to water us down in any way so that we're just kind of melancholy. Okay? Like yesterday when we had worship for this beautiful wedding, right? There was pure worship. It was pure. We're created for worship. That's why our bodies move. That's why we danced to silly songs yesterday that weren't worshipful necessarily, right? But it was just, our bodies are moving. But the Lord is saying true worship. Worship me in spirit and in truth, right? And as we worship him and celebrate him, it makes all the difference in the world. But the people that we connected with there, what they said to us was, we have to go to the people, and seeing people actually say yes to Jesus from the Orthodox perspective is really hard. They've been doing it for years. The husband is an Indian, so we talked all about India, and the wife is a Jewish, Messianic Jew. And they want to work with us. So praise the Lord for that. But we need to be walking out. We need to have an interest. There needs to be something stirred beyond, I need to understand things politically. That's part of it, and we need to. One time we were going to drive into Jericho, which was just, I guess, north of the Dead Sea, which is really interesting. And we went to the Dead Sea, and Pastor Bill floated because the salt is like 10 times greater than any sea around, and it's really terrible. So I sat in a chair and put my feet in. I didn't lay all over it, but he did. And so in this place, you can look on the other side of the sea, and what do you see? You see Jordan. It's like, oh, Jordan is right there. Wow. that's amazing. Let's go to Jericho. So we left that place to drive up to Jericho, and we get really close to the entrance into Jericho, and we had a rented Israeli car. And so we said, let's read all the signs, because we're not Israeli, but and we're Americans, so we can go anywhere, right? But we have an Israeli car. What should we do? And so we read the one sign and said, if any Israeli goes past this point, you take your life in your hands. It's like, oh, okay, we're not Israeli, but what should we do, Holy Spirit? And he said, this is not the time. Turn around. I'll provide something different later. So we didn't go to that place. We had other things to do. So the Lord is very serious. People are killed over there. Mm-hmm. People, it's very frequent. People who have, there's a lot of tension. Even going into Bethlehem, we parked our car outside and we went in with a lot of Palestinians into Bethlehem because of the rule there. And it was very chaotic. And then we found a taxi and went in. You know, so we just listened as the Spirit was leading us to go to these places and see what change we could make there and what God wanted to show us here. So it's very, very a place of deep unrest, for sure, in a place of holiness, where the Lord's saying, this is where it all began, and this is where it's culminating. And so I want to stir you up when you're reading. So I encourage you all, when you're reading the Gospels or you're reading the life of and the ministry of Jesus, that you get your map out, show your kids, they're in your Bibles, and say, remember when PMP or PB were talking about the Sea of Galilee? Here it is. Here's this country, this little tiny country in the middle of all these other places in the Arab world that hate Israel. And here's what's going on. And you speak to them and tell them so they understand that there's a fight. There's a political fight, but it's all spiritually based. Amen? Thank you, Jesus. We just want to pray and close. Pastor Bill's going to end us and say something here because we obviously didn't send the kids. We wanted the kids to see some of this, to be able to just, even if their hearts are provoked in a new way by seeing some of the pictures, and they're starting points for you to talk to them and help them.
Just being over there, you get an idea of the distances that Jesus walked. It's incredible how far away some of these places are. Jerusalem is down in this area on this relief map. And the Sea of Galilee is way up here. It took us 2 hours by car to drive there. And so he walked that. And look how mountainous it is, if you were able to see this up close. I mean, it's mountainous. And so they had paths around some of the mountains and so on, I guess. But the distances are incredible of how far he walked. And you don't get that sense until you actually go there and drive it. But he spent a lot of time on the road, walking with his disciples and so on. And even the distances when he got there, around the Sea of Galilee, walking around the Sea of Galilee. It's not a short distance. You have to walk miles and miles and miles and miles and miles. So that was one of the things that impressed me when we were there, that we drove on a highway for 2 hours, and he had to walk all of that. And, you know, he's back in Jerusalem. In the scriptures, it's like, oh, he's back in Jerusalem. Oh, and the next one, he's in Galilee. It just kind of looks like it's not that far away from one another, but they're great distances. And he had such a heart for the people to walk all of that and spend time with his disciples, teaching them along the way. So I've decided that, you know, we need to, like, walk to Michigan. And some of you join me and go up to the Promised Land and spend some time there. I can, you know, teach along the way, and Pastor Mary Pat, if she'll go with me to Michigan. But Father, we thank you, Lord, that you love the people of Israel so much, and yet they still reject you, Father. So many of the groups there, God, are just not receiving you. If they do, it's only as a prophet, a minor prophet. When they talk to Christians, Jesus becomes a little greater prophet. When they talk to one another, he's a minor prophet. When we talk to a Jewish person, Jesus, they are still rejecting you. They're rejecting the whole idea of Christianity, rejecting the resurrection, rejecting your miracles. Still, Father, the peace of Jerusalem is you. The peace of us is you. We are no different than them. We need the peace of Jerusalem. It's a person. Father, we pray that their eyes would be opened before they're going to be opened. They will be opened. But God, why not before that? Now, God, begin reaping the harvest in the land of Israel, in the Holy Land, among the Palestinians, among the Jewish unbelievers, Father. They're very impressive, Lord, when you see where they gather and what they do and all of that. Very impressive with their families. But God, you look into their eyes and they're missing the true peace of Jerusalem. Father, we know you're all over that for them. You are crying over Jerusalem still, wanting them to come to your heart. Father, we join you in that. We don't weep at a wall. We want the wall removed so they can know you. We want them to know the sheep gate, the door, the openings, not a wall, not a city, but to know the true openings to heaven through Jesus. Lord, we pray you into that area, your spirit to rise up in that area. Those that are sacrificing to be in the land of Israel, ministering to those that have such closed hearts, closed minds, closed spirits to true life, to the resurrection. It's right there. All the sites where you were, Lord. And yet they still reject you. Father, may we lift up your light so high that many will be drawn to it. They truly will be jealous to know you, God, the nations, and especially Israel. Father, we thank you for each person here that knows you. May today they honor that. Father, today may they celebrate that even more, that they know you. There are so many when you go there that just have no idea, but they're going through every religious act to please you. They even want to institute the sacrifice system again, and they're excited about it. These are all shadows of you being the sacrifice for us, God. May we appreciate the fact that you've given us revelation. We're not so smart. We were lost sheep, but you called out to us, Good Shepherd, and we've come into your flock. You're still calling out to Israel, come to my heart, come home, prodigals, come home to my heart, sheep, lost sheep, come home to the Good Shepherd, the Great Shepherd. And Lord, so far, so many are rejecting you. God, I pray you would raise up a lighthouse in Israel, Father, and we would support that in every way. And if it's partly us that we are on the front lines in Israel as well as other parts of the world, God, you're going to have to move heaven and earth for that to happen. But we know you're that big and you're that great. We don't even know what we're doing, but when we follow you, you take us a step at a time. Every person here, Father, let them soberly come before you and say, what does this have to do with me? How am I supposed to be involved in this? That land seems so far away. Those people seem so foreign to me, the way they operate spiritually. What would I have to do with that? And you will answer that question for us, Lord. Certainly in prayer, we can start right away, even more intensely than ever. But God, you will answer that question for us. And there may be many of us that visit the land of Israel in the next 5 years, Father, when all the things are going to start intensifying. We might be right there when things start really happening in a dramatic way. Jesus, we submit ourselves to you. Jesus, we are your followers. Jesus, we are your disciples. Jesus, we are your sent ones. We will obey the Spirit of God when you move us. Thank you, Lord, for today. Thank you for the wedding yesterday, a picture of how you want to call your bride to yourself, how you are waiting to join your bride. May we be part of adding to the bride by being used to bring in those from the land of Israel as well as Mozambique and other places. Thank you, Jesus, for that privilege. For that privilege to give out the powerful gospel throughout the earth. We bless your name today. We honor your name higher and higher, greater and greater, deeper and deeper, wider and wider, because you deserve it. All the praise, all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
I just want to say something that as you're going through scriptures and studying yourself, we all know that in our calendar we are different from the Jewish calendar in the sense that we base our time periods from Jesus forward, Jesus' birth, death, burial, resurrection forward, so the last 2,000 years. But 4,000 years before that, many things have happened in this wild land and surrounding countries or territories. So when you are reading the scriptures and you're reading, like, oh my gosh, Abraham, pay attention to when Abraham met with the Lord, how many years before Jesus was born. Ask those questions, and which many of you already do, but just from this point on, because the Lord is really wanting us to get a bigger picture of everything that's happened so that we can embrace what is coming and we'll be able to understand it more effectively. So we'll be able to actually say, aha, so that's what happened when at the in Megiddo, or this is what's going to happen for Armageddon, this is what's going to happen for Megiddo. Oh my gosh, these people are consumed with the last days. I don't want to go down that road. No, we're in the last days, and we want to be consumed with Jesus, but we want to have a proper understanding so that we can navigate well and that we would be equipped fully and empowered to be able to hear accurately. We know God sent us. We know what he revealed while we were there because he has built us up also in the years for what we have is experientially and spiritually to this point. But now for us as a company of people, we're saying, Lord, what do we do more effectively? We don't just say, hey, we're on the front lines and not understand what that looks like, because there is a cost. There is a way to prepare hearts, so we're doing things very wisely. Do you know that in Tel Aviv last week, there was a great big festival for a week for Pride 2019, and that in Tel Aviv, it is the most active place for homosexuality, gay rights, and all of that in all of the Middle East? I didn't know that. We didn't know that. When we flew in, that was at its hiatus in Tel Aviv. Very interesting. So there's a lot of things that are moving and cropping up around the world, and the Lord wants us to be, he wants to be spiritually minded to be able to see the bigger picture for all things and not get so inundated with tunnel vision that we can't see our way out. We're so stuck doing good things, and I'm not at all saying we shouldn't be doing good things, right? But we don't want to be stuck in our vision. We want to see, what are you seeing globally now? And what part do we play? And where do we fit? So we can prepare ourselves. And there will be more preparation for you guys, all of us in this body, in this season now, to come. But I'm encouraging for the hungry hearts, because you don't want to miss being part of whatever this is that the Lord's formulating. We knew it spiritually. The people we were with knew it. We knew that God was birthing something new. He's opened a door, and he's saying, walk through it. So don't be foolish. Don't waste time. It's just read as much as you can and ask the Lord if it's accurate. Ask him if it's truth. So read the Bible first, check out the maps, and just be more explorative, really, in reading the scriptures and thinking about what time you're in, what season, what's going on, what was happening with the kings and the priests, what was happening with the rebuilding of the temple and the wall, what's going on. The Lord's going to stir up a bigger hunger. When I got born again in my 20s, I was just so overwhelmed with the bigger picture at that time. I still am. But at that time, I wanted to know everything, past, present, and future. And it's still there. So, you know, just ask God to increase the hunger. As you're increasing a hunger for his presence, he will show you. Okay, we don't want to become law-oriented. We want to become spirit-oriented, but we must know the word more effectively as a group to be able to do what he wants us to do and carry the Spirit of God the way he's intending it. And things are heating up, as Pastor Bill said. We went at a good time when it was fairly safe, so to speak, and things are coming. Wars and rumors of wars are increasing. The prophetic people over there know that various countries are planning on invading Israel. I mean, this is prophetically laid out. So things are happening, and we're not stopping going into Africa or going into South America or anything like that. But the Lord's increasing now, and it may be a smaller group, but it will be a very serious-minded group that want to sow into this region of the world. It's not for everybody, but it is for everybody to pray and support. Amen? One thing that was spoken over us in Israel, I want you guys to hear this, because it will affect you. It will affect you. And this was a word that was given by a prophetic voice, strong prophetic voice, and that is that the Lord has opened doors and new people will be coming in here. This was not just, oh, there are going to be nice new people coming. This was people who want to partner in, people who want to roll with what God's saying and doing and releasing are coming in. There will be new faces. There'll be new ages. There'll be new people because the Lord is doing it. Kind of like he stirred up the guy in the Mozambican embassy. This door is open. New people are coming in. And you're the foundation here. But you can expect that there will be other people prophetically coming in to join us in these types of things. And even if they haven't been here for the last 20 years, they will be engrafted in and picked. They will pick up the DNA in the heart. So be hopeful, but this was a word of the Lord, and it was really powerful and strong. So be encouraged. There are more people who think this way who are coming, and they're looking for an expression to be able to come into a family like this that's serious, enjoys each other, and absolutely wants to fulfill their destiny, the fullness of the call in our lives. Amen? So, Father, I just pray over that word. I release that, God, because that just came to me. I hadn't thought about it just now, that prophetic word that was given by Shri over us, we receive it, and we thank you, Lord. Those doors are open. The gates are open. And I thank you, Father, for the mission hearts of people that carry worship inside and a desire to release worship around the world, but also to be the mouthpieces and carry the power of the gospel of the kingdom so the end will come. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We call it in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm excited about that.
Thank you for listening. If you need any additional information about Frontline Ministries International or Frontline